This morning, we are going to be talking about hope, meaning, and perseverance, and faith. And we have some scripture passages that have to do with just that. And the passages are in your bulletins that were emailed to you. And I'm going to be reading a few of these passages, and then you have the others to read and to have for yourselves in the future. And the first one is a classical passage from Isaiah that goes like this. They who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And the next one I'm going to read is the one from Mark. And I love this because Jesus says, if you can, everything is possible for one who believes. And in reading that scripture passage, it reminds me of the saying that goes, whether you think you can or think you can't, either way, you'll be right. It also reminds me of the Wayne Gretzky saying when he says, you are guaranteed to miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. Back to our scripture. From Philippians, Paul said, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me. And with that, may God bless our understanding and our living of this word of wisdom and power for our lives. The themes of hope, meaning, perseverance, and faith, the antithesis of despair, despondency, and fear are qualities that every person would love to embody because they create a very positive and resilient and meaningful life. But what's worth noticing that you can see, you can hear, you can feel in the tone of these passages themselves is that these qualities of hope, meaning, perseverance, and faith, they don't ever just happen on their own. They don't materialize themselves, but we build them. And like it or not, even when we do, you can't just build them once. But I think we all know that they're developed and they're strengthened and they're committed to, and then they are rebuilt, and then they are recommitted to. And this process happens again and again and again. In any event, that's the way it is in my life. I work on these things, and I have them for a moment, and then they slip, and I rebuild, and they slip again, and I recommit, and they slip again. And I wish that there was an easier way to go about this, to have this, but I just keep at it. We keep at it again and again, and that's the process. And for that reason, I resonate with and I love and I can feel the power and the support of the passage from Philippians that says, I press on toward the goal. I press on. One of the people who lived this out incredibly well was a man named Viktor Frankl. And he wrote a book that some of you may have heard of, even though it came out in 1946, right after the end of World War II, and it's called Man's Search for Meaning. Now, what I also discovered is that it had a title before that, its original title, that wasn't as catchy, but I think it revealed a little bit more about what the book is about, and that title was Saying Yes to Life in Spite of Everything, and it's subtitled, A Psychologist Experiences the Concentration Camp. Now, early on in his career, Viktor Frankl was a young medical doctor. He was a neurologist, and he was also a psychiatrist. And he was living in Austria, and when World War II began, because he was Jewish, he, along with his wife, along with his parents, along with his brother and sister, were all separated and they were all imprisoned in their own homeland. And for the next 2 years, Viktor survived through four different concentration camps, including Auschwitz and Dachau. And there were millions, as we know, of others who were as well tortured. He was beaten. He was worked to the brink of death. He faced starvation, vermin, frostbite, edema. And during this period of time, his mother, his father, his brother, and his wife were all killed in the concentration camps. And in his book, he narrates the experiences that he had, but the point that he was making, more than the experiences, is as a psychiatrist, he said that he noticed that there were two types of prisoners. There were those who lost faith, meaning, and hope in the future, and there were those who didn't. And he wrestled with both the observation of this, and he wrestled with the question of why. Why? What was going on? And throughout the book, he details the things that a person must do in order to, in his words, to make it, in order to be strong, in order to be resilient, in order to build genuine hope and have hope in the face of challenges. And it really revolves around meaning and choice. In regard to meaning, he quotes Nietzsche, who says, "He who has a why to life, W-H-Y, can bear almost any how." And so he said, you have to ask yourself, do you have a strong why in your life? And of course, that's what our faith is about. He said, suffering ceases to be suffering the moment it finds meaning. The stronger and clearer you are as to your why, what are you going through this for? The weaker the obstacle becomes. And of course, this doesn't just have to do with overcoming life and death adversities. It applies to nearly everything in life. It applies to losing weight. If you have the why, it changes everything. It applies to exercise. It applies to pursuing continuing education and the sacrifices that you make there. It applies to breaking addictions. It applies to working and putting effort into creating a healthy marriage. The sacrifices of parenting, recovering from illness or injury, and so on. If you're equipped with a powerful and a clear sense of the purpose behind what you're doing, you experience obstacles very differently. Something that we all know, I think, that we've all experienced either with people who we know or with maybe ourselves, is, you know, that there are folks for whom it was impossible to find the time, the motivation, or the commitment to, let's say, exercise until there's a heart attack or a health crisis, right? And then all of the sudden, boom, there's a purpose. Before, it was impossible to wake up, to commit, to find the time, or there would be 100 other obstacles or reasons, work, kids, other things. But when the purpose becomes clear, same obstacles still there, they just no longer win. If you can, Jesus said, if you can, he said, everything is possible for one who believes. That's the power of the mother who lifts the car off of her baby. I press on toward the goal for which God has called me. Now, we all look for reasons. We look for that purpose. And I talk with a lot of people, and becoming clear about your why I know, can be an overwhelming thing to consider, and it can seem vague and obscure. So there are some questions that have helped a lot of people along the way to clarify their purpose about how is God calling you and what is your why? And some of these questions are this. And I just want to say before we begin, before I start sharing some of these questions, obviously, if you answer them a little, if you answer them vaguely, on the fly, quickly, then you're also going to be clear about your why about that much, to that same degree. If you answer them thoroughly, specifically, given a lot of thought, then you're going to be clear what it is about that much. So question one, number one is, when you look back on your life, when it's all said and done, what will you have wanted to accomplish? What will you have wanted to experience? Question number two. Who will you have wanted to spend your time with, your life with? And question number three, looking back in your life, what were those things that now when you're looking back on it, now you're ready to go, you realize in retrospect, when you look at it, when you think about it, what were those things that really weren't worth your time? Those things that really weren't worth your energy? Those things that really weren't worth your worry, that are gone, that didn't matter. Gatherings and ways that you expended your energy that you thought were important at the time, but you look back on it and you realize, you know, it just wasn't worth it. And question number four is, what do you believe God is calling you to do? With that one, I think about Albert Einstein, who said, and Viktor Frankl loved to quote this. Albert Einstein said, "Don't try to become a person of success." He said, "Try to become a person of value." Now, when people hear that sentence, the question, you know, what is God calling you to do? I think a lot of times people hear that as being heavy, as being onerous. It's so big. You know, what does God want me to do? It's the opposite. It's the opposite. Because it's not what you think you should be doing. That's the kind of stuff that you're trying to get rid of, that you want to offload. The question is, what do you lean into? That's where God's energy is. What do you lean into naturally? Where's your passion? What are the things that really mean something to you? It could be art. I was talking to a friend the other day, and this is a guy, he's been a very successful business person all of his life. And at this point of his life, one of the ways, interestingly, that God seems to be calling him is through sharing his music. And we're talking about the word calling that comes from voca, or voice. It's the voice within. So what's that voice? What's that energy that's inside, that's yearning to get out, that's yearning for expression and connection? Maybe you feel this yearning to come up for air, to breathe, to have life. And some of the ways, interestingly, that we can identify what we care deeply about, because sometimes people, interestingly, have a difficult time with that, but we have no problem at all identifying what we hate, identifying those things that irritate us, annoy us. Well, one of the ways that you can identify what you really care about deeply is by exploring that flip side. What's stifling you? What do you feel is frustrating you? What frustrates you about life? Because what you want is really the opposite of that when you turn it upside down or inside out. What you really want is the transformation of that. Those things, maybe ironically, but those things that actually bother you the most are the things that you care about the most. Sometimes even just knowing that and rephrasing how you think about things from "that bothers me" to "I really care about this deeply." Sometimes even just that transforms the energy around it. "I'm so frustrated with my kids." Can really mean "I love them so deeply. I care about them so deeply that." And you fill in the blank. "That I want to help them for their future. That I want them to be independent." That's passion. The phrase "this is killing me" turns into "I deeply want and you fill in the blank." Can also turn into "I think God might be calling me to," or "God is calling me to heal something, transform something, help something, reach out to something." So you can work that. Work that. Think about that. Clarify that. Because that's your inner voice. That's your heart. So with my friend, it's really along with being a business person, a husband, a father, all sorts of things. His music is that thing inside of his heart, inside of his life, that energy that's yearning to be voiced. So for him not to be sharing that would be shutting down. It would be putting a damper on part of that reason for him being. So our calling, it's not what I think I should be doing. What do you lean into naturally? Your heart, your life. It's trying to get your attention. So looking back, what will you have wanted to accomplish or experience? Who will you have wanted to spend your time, your life with? And what were those things, now that you're ready to go, you realize really weren't worth your time or energy and didn't matter so much at all? Great questions that can reframe your life and clarify how you want to use your time and how you want to deal with obstacles. So this time in our lives, as we wrap up, one of the things that we all know is this is a very unusual time. This is a less than ideal time, to say the least. And so this time can either be a source of frustration or an opportunity for inspiration. We can spend our time being frustrated, bemoaning what is, or we could be using this time to clarify, to listen to what really matters to you. Those who know their why can overcome almost any how or what. Viktor Frankl said, "Everything can be taken from a person, but one thing. And the last of the human freedoms is to choose one's way. You and you alone," he said, decide in the next moment, and in the next moment, and in the next moment, what your life is going to be. If you can, Jesus said. That is today's blessing and opportunity. Amen.
God of many names, hello. We greet you this morning from many locations, from many states of heart and mind, yet all blessedly oriented toward you, toward extraordinary love and boundless grace, toward all that you are and all that you bring to our lives. Help us to take this time to be in your presence, to remember that you do indeed have so many names. Father, neighbor, stranger, Christ. Allow us the courage to seek comfort in those many names, in the countless ways you make yourself known to us. In the sun that warmed us yesterday, and in the rain that will nourish the flowers today, you are here. In the teachers navigating screens in order to impart love and learning, you are here. In the workers at the front lines and those of us cheering them on from the sidelines, you are here. In the hatching of baby birds, the blooming of flowers, and the bravery of all the life that pours from yet another spring, you are here. In every whispered prayer and every deep breath, you are here. Hello. Help us, Lord, to remember that while your names might look or sound different to us in this season, they are no less holy. Remind us that in this strange and sometimes scary time, when our own names might even seem a little different, yours are everlasting. Be with us in our greetings, Lord, and help us to be still and know that you are here, so that we may try and seek your presence in every moment. Help us to remember that you are the one who called us into being. You are the one who knows our names in their fullness. You were the first to say hello. And so, if we pick up a phone or send an email or turn to someone we love, allow it to be with that energy, with that love. And so we hope to greet you in every moment. In that spirit of true communion, hello. In the name of the one who knows so many names, the one who is perfect love, amen.